So the title of the message this morning is Lessons from the Philistine Cows. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture this morning, and bear with me. We're going to take some important lessons from these cows. And we're going to go through Samuel chapters 4, 5, and 6. So open up your Bibles. And we're going to start reading on 1 Samuel 4, verse 1. And before we read, let's pray once again. Heavenly Father, now that we're going to open your word, we pray that your spirit be with us, that your spirit can work in our hearts, in our minds. And I ask you to move me out of the way so we can see you, and we can see your message for all of us this morning. Stay with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. 1 Samuel 4 and verse 1. We're going to start reading. And it's a very interesting story. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Verse 2, the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. When the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when he comes among us, he may save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Wow for us, for such a thing has never happened before. Wow to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men." Those are the Philistines talking. "Be strong, conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. And every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. So, we have this battle going on, and 34,000 men of Israel died in this battle, and the Ark of God was captured. So that's a very sad thing to see and to think about. And we're going to keep reading. Chapter 5 now. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it to the house of Dagon, which was one of their deities, one of their gods, and set it by Dagon. So they put now the Ark inside this temple for this Dagon god. And they set the Ark by the side of the statue, by the side of Dagon statue or image. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, so that next day, there was Dagon falling on its face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in its place again. Verse 4. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of its hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any who come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. Verse 6. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is harsh toward us and Dagon our God. Therefore they sent and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines and said, what shall we do to the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried away to Gath, which is another city in the Philistine. So they carried the ark of God, the ark of the God of Israel away. Verse 9. So it was, after they had carried it away, that the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he struck the men of the city, both small and great, and tumors broke out on them. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron. So they didn't want to keep the ark. Another city was struck with plagues. So it was, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought the ark of the God of Israel to us to kill us and our people. They were afraid because they were getting the news of what was going on in the other places. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go back to its own place so that it does not kill us and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who did not die were stricken with tumors. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. Can you imagine? They had the ark of the Lord, and whatever the ark was, there was death and plague and rats eating out their crops and damaging everything. And tumors in the man, and whoever didn't die was struck with tumors. And the ark was there for 7 months, and they didn't know what to do with it. They were just pushing it from city to city, and nobody wanted to keep it. Verse 2, and the Philistines called for the priests and diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. So they said, if you send away the ark of God, of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you'll be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. And verse 4. Then they said, what is the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the numbers of the lords of the Philistines. For the same plague was on all of you and on your lords. Verse 5. Therefore you shall make images of your tumors and images of your rats that ravaged the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods and from your land. And verse 6. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go that they might depart? So the Philistines are now coming to conclusion that they should do as the Egyptians did. They were hardening their hearts and they were keeping the ark, but the ark should go. They need to let the ark go. So little recap on the story. We have this battle. 34,000 men of Israel die, including the two sons of Eli, which were not too good of people. They were really bad. We know some stories about them. So they died in this presumptuous battle, which was not in the will of God that they went to battle. So the ark is captured, is brought to Dagon's temple, and then, boom, the idol fell on its face as a sign of, okay, even their God is worshiping the ark, a symbol of the God of Israel. And then all the plagues and rats and tumors. So the Philistines have this meeting, the princes of the Philistines, and they decided to move the ark, and the ark goes from place to place. And wherever the ark goes, destruction. And the Ekronis was the last city that we have the word about. When they see the ark, they are desperate. They say, oh no, don't bring it here. We don't want to die. We know that we're going to die if the ark comes. But the ark came and they died. A lot of them died. So great destruction. So once again, the lords of the Philistines, all the princes of the Philistines, they get together to decide what to do with the ark. And they decide to send the ark back to Israel. That was the only way in their minds. And they were right. So the diviners and princes together, they think about how to send it back. And they come up with this solution. Okay, we're going to set the ark. We're going to read it a little bit later, but they're going to set the ark in a new cart, and they're going to put together some trespass offering. So they knew they did something wrong against the God of Israel, and they knew the God of Israel had power. They had seen it many times, and they even heard stories about the Egyptians who died chasing people of Israel. So they said, we need to send together with the trespass offering. And the trespass offering needs to symbolize how God is striking you, is striking us. So they decided to make this golden images of tumors and golden images of rats, one for each prince of Philistines. So I don't know if there were 100 princes of Philistines. They made 100 tumors of gold and 100 rats of gold to send us this trespass offering. Okay, let's go now to verse 7, and we're on chapter 6. Now therefore, make a new cart. Take 2 milk cows, which have never been yoked, and hitch the cows to the cart, and take their calves home, away from them. So now they should separate these 2 cows from their calves, and they were special cows. They were not ordinary cows. They should have never been yoked. They should have never been on hard labor. They had to be special separated cows with calves. And then they would separate the calves from their mothers, and they would bring these cows. Verse 8 now. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side, and send it away, and let it go. Verse 9, and watch. If it goes up the road on its own territory to Beth Shemesh, then he, capital H here, so they're talking about the Lord, he, the Lord, God of Israel, has done us this great evil. So it's the cows, go on the road towards Beth Shemesh, which is Israel's territory. Then we know that God did this to us. But if not, then we shall know that this is not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Then the men did so. They took the 2 milk cows and hitched them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. In verse 11, and they set the ark of the Lord on the cart, and the chest with the gold rats and the images of their tumors. Then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. So, let's think about some lessons we can take from this cows after this incredible story. First lesson we can think about, we can take from this cows is surrender. Have you guys ever dealt with cows? Any of you? Have you ever dealt with cows? Male cow, Dale? I see another hand here. Another one. So yeah, a few of us, or a few of you, I have never dealt with cows. My grandpa had some cows. My mom had dealt with cows, but I have never. But we know that when you have a milk cow and the cow has calves, you need to separate the mom from the baby. Otherwise, there's not going to be any milk left. So you let the cows milk their babies, and then you separate them, let them go to the pasture, and you keep the babies away. And next morning, when they are full of milk, do you have to call them? You don't. They come by instinct to their babies. They know they need to give their babies food, their milk. So you don't need to call them. And these cows, they were with calves. They were separated from their calves. And they just went on the road straight to Beth Shemesh. They didn't come back. They surrendered their instinct, their will of keeping their babies and nurturing their babies to follow God's orders. They were following God's orders to go back, to bring the ark. They didn't know that, but they were following. They surrendered their nature to go back to Beth Shemesh. Renounced their instinct. Surrendered all to follow God's direction. So, first lesson, surrender. What do I need to surrender? What do you need to surrender? To follow God's directions. Yeah, everything. But maybe there's some little thing that you're holding tight and, no, Lord, not this. Maybe there's something that you need to renounce in order to completely follow God's orders. So God can work in us and go work through us. Let me read again verse 12. The cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh, and they went along the highway, lowing as they went. Do you guys know what lowing mean? Huh? Mooing. Do you think they were happy? They were mooing all the way down the road. Mooing, mooing. Do you think that's a sign of a happy cow? They knew they were leaving their calves behind, unattended. They didn't know their destiny. They just knew they were leaving their calves behind. They were not happy. But they kept going. They went crying to Beth Shemesh. Okay, lesson two. Poor cows. Focus. Do you guys think we need focus? We do. The cows did not turn aside to the right or to the left. They did not get distracted. So many times we get distracted with so many things. So many things that are not important. And we know that this world is a giant distraction machine. There's many industries that are they only exist to distract us. Think about Hollywood, for example. Giant distraction machine. And a bunch of others, like news outlets. Oh, now it's this war, then it's that war, then it's this disease, now it's that disease. All to distract us. Mass shootings, critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, a lot of things going on, being bombarded in our faces, just to distract us. Are you focused? And that's a question I made to myself. Am I focused? Have you taken a right turn sometimes on your road to God? Have you ever leave? Maybe you may have considered, oh, there's this nice job opportunity. Sometimes I'll have to eventually work on Friday nights, but it's a great job. You're going to pay a lot of money. Let's move on. Let me read again verse 8 and 9. Then the ark of the Lord was set on a cart, and put the articles of gold which you are returned. Oh, actually, take, it's a command. They're saying, take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart. Put the articles of gold which you are returning as a trespass offering by its side in a chest. Then send it away and watch, verse 9. If he goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done to us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it's not his hand that struck us, and it happened by chance. So they knew it was the God of Israel that was responsible for that. But they still wanted to believe that maybe it wasn't. But we know that the cows went straight. Do you have any idea of how far is the road? How long is this road between the Philistine territory for that Ekron city to Beth Shemesh? Any of you have any guesses? Okay, it's about 31 miles. Do you know how far on a day a cow can walk? Any guesses? 5 miles. Okay, this picture here is from an area in Brazil called Pantanal. This is pretty much like the Everglades in Florida. It's wetlands, but it's 28 times bigger than the Everglades in Florida. It's massive. It's the biggest biome in the world. And they have a lot of cows in the Pantanal. There are many, many cow farms. Many. And because of it's a wetland, they need to move the cows from area to area during the flood season. So whenever, before the flood season starts, the farmers with their workers, they jump on horses and they start moving the cows. They cannot move them in trucks because there's so many cows and there's not many roads. So they just walk the cows to their new destination. And that's how they do it. And they go through water and through land and through forest. They just move the cows. A good, strong Brazilian cow, a very strong young adult with no children, can walk up to 12 miles a day. They have to walk and they have to stop and rest. Otherwise, they're going to die from exhaustion. They cannot go past that. The young adults. And you can imagine the older cows, the cows with babies, with calves, they can walk way less than that. So they plan their trips and they go camping from place to place while they move the cows. So up to 12 miles, a young, strong adult cow. Again, on verse 12, they headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right or to the left. So they work hard, these two cows. And they had babies, so they were not in the best shape to walk long distance, but they did walk non-stop 31 miles. So they were very focused. And the third lesson we can take now, strength. They didn't have the strength to complete this journey. It was very, very long, way more than they could possibly do. But they kept going. Do you think they got the strength from where? Yes, they did get the strength from God. Are you tired sometimes? Are you feeling exhausted? Are you feeling powerless? Hopeless? Maybe depressed? Wanted to give up the fight? Oh, let's just give up. Same God that strengthened this cows can strengthen you. Maybe you're facing hardships that are overwhelming. Maybe you are facing an addiction that you cannot overcome. Maybe a disease. Maybe problems with your family, with your kids. Maybe problems on your work. Maybe you're considering just give up and stop fighting. But remember, God can renew our strength daily. He can give us strength. Let us move to the lesson number 4. Let's read now verse 13 on chapter 6. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat. They reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted their eyes and saw the ark. And they rejoiced to see it. Can you imagine the scene? God's people knew that they had lost the battle. They lost 34,000 men. And they even lost the ark. For 7 months. And they cannot do anything. They're just waiting. And then, while they are reaping, harvesting their wheat, they hear a little noise. They see something moving, coming down the road, the two cows with the cart, and they saw the ark. And they rejoiced to see it. They were very, very happy. So when the cows arrived to Beth Shemesh, or in Beth Shemesh, all the people rejoiced. And now when we think about another lesson that we can take from these cows, are you a carrier of good news that people can rejoice when they see you? Am I a carrier of good news? Are you bringing good news to people? Let's read Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. That's talking about when Jesus was being born, angels came and talked to the pastors in the field, and they say, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings," or in other versions, good news, "of great joy, which will be to all people." So do we have good news to all people? We do. Are we bringing good news to people, to all people? Do people rejoice when they see you, when they see me? Is your presence joyful to others? I know some people that, some friends from the past, when they arrive in the gathering, some people kind of walk away, disassemble. That's sad. So are you one of these? Am I one of these people that are not the carrier of good news? On the contrary, they have always something to complain, always something to not be happy about and make others unhappy. Or we are doing like the angels did. I bring you good news of great rejoice. And people will cheer. They will be happy to see us, to listen to us. You don't even need to go to talk to them. They will come to talk to you because they want to hear more. So the fourth lesson we take from this cows. Bring good news. We should bring good news. We need to make others happy with our presence and with the news that we bring to them. Okay, let's read now. Go back to Samuel, chapter 6, and we're going to read the verse 14, and we're going to think about the fifth lesson. Then the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there, so they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. That's a tough one. First time I heard the story, first time I read this, I was, oh my, really? These cows gave up everything. And what is the reward? They left the calves behind. They renounced everything. They kept the focus on the road. They walked more than their capacity to carry the heavy cart with the ark without having ever been yoked. They brought happiness to the people. In their reward, they were slain and offered in sacrifice. In my opinion, these cows needed like a statue in the entrance of the city. Hey, those are the cows that brought us the ark back. These cows needed to be lifted up and get the best grass ever to be all their lives in the shade with water and the best grass ever. But they were offered in sacrifice. Lesson 5. We need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Let's read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Reasonable service. That's what we're doing here. We're reasoning over God's words. We're coming together and thinking about it and not bringing emotions. Of course, emotions are always connected. But many people, they just live their lives full of emotions, but empty. And God wants a reasonable service. That is how we can present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We don't need to be slave because Jesus was laid for us in our behalf. First lesson, let's read it together. Surrender all. Second lesson, we need to maintain our focus. The third, ask for strength from high. We know that God can strengthen us. Fourth, we need to bring news to others. We need to be the carrier of the good news. Always, even when we don't feel good, even when we feel tired and we feel overwhelmed. And the last and fifth, offer ourselves in living sacrifice. So this is my prayer for you this morning and for me. And now as we close, we're going to sing hymn number 309, I Surrender All. Thank you.